Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We're really grateful that Speaker of the House, Matt Ritter, joining us now on Brian and Company. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm great. I really appreciate it. I know things are very busy this time of year. When was the deal made for that $40 million to be used the way you're going to use it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the outreach from the governor's office came yesterday or Monday, probably around 5:30, 6 o'clock. But I can tell you the language was not finalized till about 9:30 last night. So, you know, there was still some negotiations on the fine point of the language. We got there last night. The e-sermon out to the members of the legislature sometime around 11 o'clock last night.
I have a bunch of questions here. Like, you were fully prepared to override the veto.
Yes. Well, to be clear, we would have overridden the special education veto. We would not have had the votes to override the second bill, which had the $2.9 million for nonprofits.
So is there, I'm trying to figure this out because, you know, I've talked about the scenario many times. And if you have a party in control of the legislature, the same party as the governor, and something like this happens, it really makes me feel like there's some tension within the party here. Like, is this and you pass this when he's sort of on his way to India, and this the way it progressed. I mean, is this sort of the legislature, you, sending a message to the governor?
You know, there's high tension for some people. I acknowledge that. But it's interesting. The veto override comes down to the Republican Party, not the Democratic Party in the House, right? We have 102, but we would not have had the votes without Republicans to override either veto, right? And we would have fallen short on the second one. But the special education override was provided by Republican votes. So I don't see it as Democrat versus Democrat. I see it as the entire General Assembly, 145 in the House and 35-0 in the Senate, the most conservative, the most liberal, just did not fundamentally agree with OPM's arguments. And I, you know, tried to explain that as nicely as I could to the executive. It's not me and Marty beating up our members into submission to vote for something. It was the will of the chamber.
Yeah. No, I never
see that in Washington, unfortunately. But in Hartford, the legislature sometimes just disagrees with the executive branch, and we do it bipartisan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's real lives at stake in this is a real serious topic. It makes this stuff way more dynamic to analyze when things like this transpire. You know, we're talking with Matt Ritter, who's the Speaker of the House here, obviously here in Connecticut. I'm curious about the ARPA interest-bearing account stuff. Like, at some point, I mean, I know, and I've talked to people off the record, everyone, every sort of department wants to have a little bit of a cushion somewhere. I mean, that's the way that things go. I get it. But at some point, we won't be able to access that kind of thing, right? I mean, does this create an issue for, like, the next budget? Is this just sort of putting a thumb in the dam here?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's a one-time allocation on the special education grant side. And we're looking at special education holistically. So it's in line with what we've been doing all year. And the $3 million for the nonprofits, I mean, our budget is about $24 billion, $25 billion a year. So it's not a big number. What I would say, though, is that we're still in very sound financial position. And that's the reason Republicans and Democrats agreed on this. Our operating surplus is between $350 and $390 million, depending on who you ask.
Right.
And, you know, we have different analysts who provide different numbers, but that's the range. And then you still have about $1.4 billion that's going into the pension fund. So if you're listening at home going, they're spending $43 million, well, there's about $1.7 billion. Let that sink in financial surpluses for FY25.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And the $40 million isn't a big number either. And I'm just curious, do you ever get a clear answer as to why the governor didn't want it?
You know, I just think there was some miscommunications, perhaps some misunderstandings. I will, you know, he was away, and I know that sounds weird with cell phones and everything, but there probably was less dialogue than normal. So there might have been some communication breakdowns. And I think when he got back and we all had a chance to sit and talk and figure it out, it came together pretty quickly. You know, my dad always says to me, you can't over communicate enough in politics. And, you know, at some point, you're like, all right, Dad, I hear you.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Brian, that really sort of hits here, is that this was just probably as much about communication than about policy.
We're talking with Matt Ritter, who is the Speaker of the House. Now, I want to move on to some other stuff, and I appreciate the candid commentary here. I mean, I don't know how much you watched last night. I mean, I think it's a mess in D.C. on both sides, to be candid with you, and I'm an unaffiliated voter. How worried are you about federal money and how it might impact us here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I was watching Auburn, Texas A&M. When it comes to March, that's my focus. I got to get my brackets right. So Texas A&M played a good game. Look, the single biggest threat probably to most states in this country would be massive changes to the Medicaid program. In Connecticut, that's a big, big part of our budget. And every dollar we spend, we get a federal match. I've read everything from even a 10% cut. Right? May not seem like a lot. That's about $600 million to our budget. So that's probably what keeps me up at night. We'll know in May where they are, hopefully. Ballpark is what they're saying down in Washington from what we hear. And then it may impact our budget timing as well. It's a concern, but also I would remind people, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, Medicaid means just as much down there in really poor states. So hopefully cooler heads prevail on that. Look, government should weed out inefficiencies. I mean, I don't deny that, but I don't think Medicaid is a program that is can sustain this type of cuts, and we can still provide quality services to our residents here.
Yeah. I mean, you can't make meaningful hay over the debt and deficit without some entitlement issues, but I mean, to try to cut, you know, all the DOGE stuff and then not really attack the budget, you know, and have that savings count is what bothers me a lot. You know, last question for me, you know, so this this issue with special education, you know, and there's going to be a lot of other interests that are going to be looking for money, but sort of what are the next priority or two on your agenda moving forward from today on?
Yeah, next thing we got to do is we'll start voting on bills, right? After today, we'll let the committees wrap up in March, and then April we'll start voting. Our budget, you know, our counter to the governor will come out in late April. Look, we feel strongly about childcare. We feel strongly about special education. We feel strongly about helping our nonprofits. And I think we're going to do our best to provide funding for Connecticut families, particularly people with young children. We feel that's sort of been a theme of this session. And that's what we're going to work hard on. And, you know, I can't control what happens in Washington, so I try to control what we can do in Connecticut. But I hope if anybody, the one takeaway I would give you is today we're going to go in and vote on a bill to appropriate money for special education. The Republicans will vote for it, the vast majority, I think, in the House. And politics is better, government is better, when the two parties can try to work together. And I just feel like that's why I enjoy my job in Connecticut. And I can't imagine what's going on down the Potomac River right now.
Yeah, so, it is brutal. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, thank you for your time. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.